It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad, and our very special guest, Jace Morrow, our youth pastor in Cheyenne, Oklahoma.
Good morning.
Good morning. Always good to have you. And I just have to put a little plug in for Jace right now. I hope he doesn't get embarrassed. But, you know, since you've been there, which has been, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Two years this month.
Okay, I was thinking it was about 2 years. The youth group has grown more than it's ever grown since I've been in that church. And or anyway, for a long, long time, because I can't remember back more than, you know, 20 years or so.
But
just doing a great job with the kids, has a love for kids that they can see. And that's very important.
Well, I greatly appreciate that. But, I mean, I've been telling people it wasn't anything I've done other than just being obedient. God was already on the cusp of moving and doing something big. And so it's really cool that God's allowed me to be there and witness and see him move.
Right.
And so it's all glory to him.
All glory to God. That's right. But sometimes he has to have somebody here on earth to be the person that that passes through, too. So.
Sure.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send that praise or prayer request to our new texting line, which is 580-485-0837. Our Facebook sponsor today is Grant's Auction Realty, and they've been with us since the very beginning that we started the Hour of Power some 16 years ago. Faithful sponsors, I'm telling you. It's great to have sponsors like that. Jace, I think I've covered everything. Will you pray to start us out?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right, let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we just humbly come before you, just acknowledge you in everything that we're about to do. God, we cannot do this apart from you, and it would be foolish if we even tried to do this in our own strength. God, we pray for everybody that'll tune in either currently or sometime in the future. God, whatever they're going through, that God, that they would hear your words and hear the hope that we have in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for anybody that may be tuning in that may not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that God, you would just show them their need for Jesus. You'd show them their brokenness and their sinfulness, and God, that they can come to you in their shame and guilt and be set free from all of that. And God, I pray for for all the Christians that'll be tuning in and listening to this, that God may be going through a season of difficulty and may be struggling through some things. And God, that we would find hope in your words. And God, and be encouraged that we serve an almighty God. And so, God, we glorify you this morning. We pray and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, your topic today is living to remember.
Yeah. So I am kind of jumping a little bit between Joshua 3, mainly in Joshua 4. And so just kind of been thinking of, you know, the difficulty of life that everybody and most of everybody has been in for the past 2 years, and through COVID and through all sorts of just different normal life circumstances that come that way. But it's really easy for me to complain about the past few months from COVID and having some lasting effects that really suck. I don't know how else to say that, and I apologize if that offends or sounds bad, but I could be really miserable and wallow in my self-pity and all this and that. But for me, when I look at what I'm hopefully can give some words of encouragement to someone else that may just be going through a season of difficulty, of hardship, like I could sit there and dwell in that and wallow in my self-pity and think about all this, but rather, I can actually, as far as I have come in this walk with the Lord, one of the greatest things is when I want to sit there and complain, rather I can look back on my walk with the Lord that I've had for many, many years now, and I'm just constantly reminded of God's goodness and grace, but most importantly, like his presence, that he has been with me through it all, and yet here I am still living, breathing, and withstanding it all. And it's not because of how great and powerful and mighty I am and how strong my will is for life, but it's all because of how great and powerful the will of my God is. And so, and sometimes that just humbles me and just reminds me, like, quit complaining, like, quit whining, quit wallowing in your self-pity, and just hold on to your Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And so, so it's not about me, but it's living to remember. It's remembering, looking back on God's faithfulness in my life. And so this is kind of where I look in Joshua 3 and 4, and just giving a little backstory of Joshua 3, because I am going to spend majority of my time in Joshua 4. But here's a run through of Joshua 3. Is the nation, Joshua is now leading the nation of Israel, and they've got to cross the Jordan River at this point. And God tells Joshua that to command the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan, right? And so the Lord, whenever the Ark of the Covenant, when the priests' feet get into the Jordan River, God is going to miraculously cut off and stop the flow of the river and make it stand still, right? And so what we see is that actually happens. The priest, Joshua commands the priests, carry the Ark of the Covenant, go to the Jordan River, and as soon as their feet touched the water, God halted the water and made it split open just like the Red Sea, and they were able to walk across it, right? And so the Israelites are able to cross safely, and the priests of the Ark that are carrying the Ark, they're actually in the Jordan River, but they're standing on dry ground. They're not standing on, like, whenever it rains here and then our dirt roads get mucky and squishy and nasty. They're actually standing in the middle of this constant flowing river on dry ground. And so, and the entire nation ends up passing the Jordan River. And so we're in Joshua chapter 4. I'm going to read a little bit and then stop. But Joshua chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 right now. And then I'll pick up here and there. And it says this, starting in Joshua 4, verse 1. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so that the stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.' And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there." And then ending on verse 9 for now. "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And there they are to this day." And so in our problems, I want to talk about, I just have 3 points today, like a good old Baptist preacher would. The first thing that I see in this is, through all of this, one, God sees you to it. God sees you in your problems, and God will see you to it. And so I see in verse 9, where there at the end where it says he set up the 12 stones in the Jordan River where the priest stood there, where the priest had stood. And so Joshua actually set up the stones in the midst of the Jordan, right? And so, and that's a memorial to the people, and that's where God did the impossible, right? At that point where it's impossible to cross this river, yet God made it happen. God brings them to cross the Jordan during a great time of overflow, actually, due to in the region where they're at, due to the snow melt and the spring rain that comes down there. This Jordan River always overflows during this time of the year that they're actually trying to cross this. And so, which meant that the Jordan River is actually much, much, much deeper and the flows of the current is much stronger, which means it isn't crossable. Like, there's no way that they could physically on their own try to get over this due to the great overflow and the season that they're in trying to cross this, right? So it's just, it's not crossable. And so even when they're in the middle of the impossible, a difficult season, God is with it. God is with them through it all, right? And so I love the detail, like I said, of the priest that they're standing on dry ground. It's not mucky or muddy or river bottom that the Israel crossed in, but rather they're standing in the midst of the Jordan on dry ground, which tells me this is that God is with his people. And so here's one of the things I love about God is what this tells me about him is that he's not scared to get in the midst of it with his people, that he's not just standing on the sidelines trying to cheer them on and get them through it, but rather God is standing in the midst of it with them and trying to get them to it, right, and get them through it. And so God's not scared to get in there with his people. And God even says in Joshua 3:11, I'll read it real quick, but in Joshua chapter 3, verse 11, it tells us that God goes before his people. This is God speaking in 3:11, where he says, "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan." And so we see this is that God is going before them in the Jordan. God is ahead of our problems before we even get to them. Mm-hmm. Just as what I said, God will see you to it. We get to our problems and solutions, and we're like, "God, where are you at?" And God's like, "I've already been here, and I've already been working on how I'm going to get you to this." And so whatever circumstance and situations that we're in, man, God's already there in the moment working on for it. And so in Joshua 1:9, a lot of people have this quoted around their house and put it on different things, but Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Mm-hmm. Right? Another one I love is Isaiah 41:10 that says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And what I love about that, I think, and I speak those verses, when I read those, it reminds me, I believe it's so easy for people to be in the middle of hardship and difficulty and not see the hand of God moving until later down the road. Once we've kind of gotten out of it, once you've had time to pass by and you can kind of reflect back and see how the things were maneuvering and panning out, and then you're kind of able to see the evidence of God and how he was moving and working in those moments and in the midst of the difficulty. But oftentimes we can't see how God is working and moving in the midst of it all when we're in the middle of the difficulty. And so that's why I love this part of, in this moment, they may not see the big miracle that's happening right here. But for us, I think as well, that God sees you to it, that God is well in advance before us, that God goes before us in our biggest battles, and he's there for us. And the second thing I love is this, point number two, is that God will see you through it. And so we don't just serve a God that's already ahead of us, but he's also a God that's with us through it all, and he doesn't abandon us. So jumping back in Joshua chapter 4, looking at verses 2 and 3, it says this: "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe of man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.'" And then verse 8, "And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded. They took up the 12 stones of the midst of Jordan, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to the place where they lodge and laid them down there." And so God sees you through it. And so what we see here is not only do we see how God went before them, but he also went alongside them, right? He also saw it. He saw them through it and delivered them to it. Just like at the Red Sea, where God had made the impossible happen by splitting the Red Sea open, right? It's doing the same thing where he's having Israel walk through dry ground and delivering them to the other side, right? And so God was faithful then, as God is faithful now. And because of the deliverance again, they pile up the stones as another memorial. And it makes me think, for what greater purpose? What purpose is the significance of Joshua commanding them, "Hey, this is what's happened. Man, okay, let's take these 12 stones and let's stack them up in the middle of the Jordan River." So they get one man from each tribe of Israel. They get a stone, they stack it up high, and I don't think they're getting little pebbles and rocks. I'm thinking they're getting some good-sized rocks to make them stack high enough. So they stack them in the Jordan River. Now we see it again where they're stacking them just outside the Jordan River after they've made it over. And so what's the significance? And so we look in Joshua 4, and we see in 6 and 7, okay, Joshua, you're making us grab these big boulders, these stones. Why should we? And in 6 and 7, it says that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so that these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And so it's the greater significance of these stones is that it's a memorial of God's deliverance and faithfulness to his people. They serve a purpose. And so it makes me think, have y'all ever asked your parents a thing of maybe why your family does a certain tradition over and over, right? And there's a whole bunch of different ways that people answer this. There's weird family traditions, and I don't mean to offend anybody. Maybe this is weird. I think it's kind of weird, but I know it's kind of popular where or like around Christmas time. I don't know. Now I'm thinking about this. This could even be wrong. Do people hide a pickle in Christmas trees? Have y'all ever heard that before?
No.
Okay, good. So y'all are normal. Okay, I don't. I really think it's either a jalapeno or a pickle or something. I really think it's like a pickle, but they would hide a pickle in the Christmas tree, and if you find it, you'd get to open like an extra Christmas present. I promise I'm not making that up. I know that someone in there, that someone knows that, and that's apparently that's more common than I thought. But there's different traditions as to why we would do certain things, right? And sometimes parents, if you know this, you have a very inquisitive child that maybe ask, why do we do this a whole lot, right? And you and your graceful, wise parenting say, because I say so. No, like we have right. Things that we are traditions of reasons why we do certain things, right? And so you eventually get fed up and you just say, oh, because I said so, whatever. But as parents, I speak this for myself as well, we want to teach our children about the Lord. We want to teach them scripture. We want to teach them about the significance of church and prayer and tithing. But also, not because we say so, because you need to, or because we have to, but because those things serve an overall greater purpose, right? Those things are significant. And this is what Joshua is trying to communicate to the nation of Israel right here on what to tell the future generations about the importance and the significance of these stacked stones. And so, Ms. Neva, if you want, we are too early to go to a short break?
No. You're ready. I'm ready. This first prayer request is for Sergio Rodriguez, who was rushed to Oklahoma City by ambulance last night with a possible stroke or Bell's palsy. And so we want to remember him. A little story about him. His dad worked for me years and years and years ago in the oil field. He was just such a great hand. When I'd go to sandblast pipe or something, he was the one who would lift the bags of sand over into the pot that you had to put the sand in. Yeah. So I've known Sergio a long, long time. His dad's name was Sergio also, so this is Junior, actually.
Okay.
And then we want to pray for Patricia Linderman, who's been struggling physically for the past several months. She's had 4 surgeries and been in the hospital, 3 different hospitals over the last several months. Okay. She now has a colonoscopy bag, and she's already a miracle because I've known her probably 15 years, but maybe 20-some years ago, she was in a car accident where she lost both legs from the knee down and one eye. So she's already a miracle that she lived through that, but she's really been struggling recently with some serious issues.
Okay.
And then I would just ask our listeners to pray for Joe and me as we travel to Oklahoma City tomorrow. He has to have that COVID test. Every time he goes into the hospital, you have to have the COVID test. And then on Wednesday, he will either have that stent in the left ureter replaced or taken out. Now, we're believing that the proton therapy that he took about 5 weeks ago eradicated that tumor, and that he won't have to have that stent put back in.
Oh, yeah.
The last time he had to have it replaced, he really did not feel good for 3 weeks after that. And, of course, every time they replace that or do anything with it, they had to put him to sleep, which that's not good.
Right.
Period. Right. To have that much anesthesia. So this would be the third time that he's had to have anesthesia, even to take it out or to replace it. So, anyway, just keep us in your prayers. Keep him in your prayers.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just take this time to come before you in prayer, and we're lifting up these people, God, but we want to take some time to specifically pray for Sergio, and just know that, God, that we know that he has been rushed to the OKC and for a possible stroke or Bell's palsy, but God, I just pray for him right now for healing, and God, that the hospital that he's at, God, we lift up the medical staff that you have placed around him, that God, that they would work to the best of their ability to find the issue. God, you would make it evident to them. You would lay it out before them, God, exactly what it is, the diagnosis, and how to move forward to get the best results for Sergio. But God, we pray that you would keep him strong, keep him uplifted in his spirits. Father, I first and foremost, I don't know him personally, but God, my biggest concern is I pray that he does know you as his Lord and Savior, and God, that he would rest in knowing that who you are in his life. And God, I pray that you would just continuously heal him and bless him with that, God, and that everything would turn out just fine. God, we pray that I know the nerves and the anxiousness of wondering what's going to happen or what's all going on, and how that can attack your thoughts and make you doubt. But God, I pray that you would protect his mind and his thoughts during this time, and God, you would just help him keep him strong, and keeping his eyes on you, Lord. So we just continue to lift up him and his family, and that you would just continue to see them through this time. And then, Lord, we want to lift up Patricia to you, God, in who we've heard that she's been struggling for quite a while now, struggling physically and with everything else that's been going on in her life, God. She's had many amounts of surgeries and just not feeling well. And God, I just pray for her, God. Thank you for her life. Thank you for who she is. God, thank you for obvious the miracle works that you've done in her life, God, that she's from just hearing a little bit of her story. But God, for me, I hear that those kind of stories, and it makes me think, wow, what a walking testimony that person is of your faithfulness and your goodness to her. And God, I know some people don't see it that way, but God, it's a miracle that she's with us. And so God, I just pray for her as well for healing, God, and bring comfort over her body. God, you would help her through whatever is hurting, whatever is miserable right now in this life, that God, you would help continuously heal her and let her have better days in the future, feeling better and turning her health around. God, I pray that she knows you as well as her personal Lord and Savior, that God, we know what healing looks like in this world will be different than what we know what healing will look like on the other side of heaven. And so, God, I pray that you would just strengthen her, help her hold strong to the faith, God. And God, we just pray for her that she would just continue to get good rest, but have better days, feeling better with her health, God. You are the only one that can do that. So, God, we just put her in your hands. And then, Father, we want to take time to lift up Joe and Ms. Neva here. That God, we know that there's some future events that are happening about a stent. And God, we pray that, God, you would have done so much healing on Joe and his body that it wouldn't allow for him to have to replace that stent. And God, we pray that he would, that we would see evidence in him of how you your healing working power happens and how you answer prayers. And God, you see us to it and through it, how we've been talking today. So, God, I pray for them as they make the drive up this week to go and do that. And, God, that you would show them your power and, God, that how you have delivered them through this. But, God, ultimately, if it turns out that Joe has to go through that, then, God, we will remain faithful to you. We will remain faithful in our prayer life and committed to you, knowing that, God, you will see this through. That, God, you are already ahead of us in this moment and already working for it, working in the moment. And so, God, we trust in you. And God, we pray that you would deliver Joe through this, God, but ultimately we pray that he would not have to go through more anesthesia and all of that stuff, God, all the wonky feelings that that makes us happen and make us feel not so well afterwards. So God, we thank you for Joe's life, God, how you continuously, I mean, he's a walking billboard of miracles as well, God, of your faithfulness, and God, so we give you the honor and glory and praise for that as well. God, this is why it's so important that we don't live life apart from you. God, our worst day on earth with you is better than the best day on this world without you. I would rather be with you than apart from you, God. And so, God, I am thankful for you and how you continuously stay with us rather than abandon us like you rightfully deserve to. And that you have no reason other than your great love for us. And so I'm thankful for that. So, Lord, we love you. We lift up these people to you, God. May we continue to do so in the days ahead. So, Lord, we love you. We pray and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm just thinking about your title this morning, Living to Remember. We have so many things to remember and to be thankful for.
Yeah.
You know, just like I was telling you about Patricia, she realizes that she probably should never have even survived that car accident years ago. And now she's been through all of these things. And even when she was in the hospital in Oklahoma City, she shared with me that her oldest son tried to kill himself. Mm. And he was in the same hospital with her, but she couldn't get to him.
Oh,
they'd transported him to Mercy in Oklahoma City, and now he has been to a treatment center, and he's doing really well. But, you know, they've just struggled.
Yeah.
And you know, as I've visited with her through the years, I've known her probably, like I said, 12 or 15 years now, but as I've visited with her through the years, you know, she realizes that some of the things that's happened in her life are a result of poor choices and poor decisions, and yet God has stayed with her and given her grace and mercy that none of us deserve the grace and mercy that he has died on the cross for, but he did that.
Right.
And so, you know, praise God for those things and those things that we should remember that need to come to our mind that we should be thankful for.
All right.
So, okay, I'm going to thank some of our sponsors, and then we'll get back to your message of living to remember.
Sounds good.
Joshua's Crossing Ministry has provided this beautiful place for us here, and we just so appreciate them. Continue to keep Les in your prayers as he is contemplating and waiting for the right time to get back into counseling people. And also, keep him in your prayers that he finds a female counselor, Christian counselor, that can come in and counsel women. One of the things he and Donna did was they counseled couples. And so he would like to get back to that place where they could have the opportunity to do that. So they're at 312, or this building is at 312 North Main in Elk City. And just keep him in your prayers. Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue has Sunday school at 9:30 Sunday morning, church at 11, church again at 6, and a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening, and then they have a Bible study on Thursday evening at 7. Apostle Casey Elliott will bless you. If you don't have a place to go and want to go check that out, I know you will be blessed. And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors. As I said earlier, Grants Auction and Realty is our Facebook sponsor today. Okay.